Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your host, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey everybody, Matt Siltala here alongside Dave Rohr for another one of these Business of Digital episodes. Glad that you could join us for this episode. And what we're going to talk about today, this is a fun one because there's so much, you know, to discuss with this, but it's tips for running an in-house SEO or digital team, building it, you know, all things related to that. And so before we jump into it, hey, Dave, how's it going?
Good day. How are you?
Oh, excellent, sir. So I guess, you know, I'm going to kind of hand it over to you to get this thing started for us. I think that this is a great topic.
It's also a horrible topic because it's kind of general. Well, and it was my idea, and as I keep thinking through it, I'm like, perhaps we should have just gone really deep into each thing. But maybe we'll start high level and
see where it leads us.
We can always circle back with other episodes. Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Just for those listening, we're going to talk about hiring, training, and just like ongoing, like how to herd the cats.
That's a good way to put it.
Tried to herd SEOs? Yeah. Oh, man. When I worked at Cavario, there was like 40 of us at one time. And whenever we would meet in San Diego, there would literally be a room of 40 SEOs. Sometimes I think we got up to 50, all of us. And it was just like, you know, okay, now we're going to go to do this. And it's like people would just be mingling and talking to each other. And, you know, if you've ever gone to PubCon or any kind of conference, like trying to get SEOs to go from one place, it's like there's the bar is closed. The open bar is closed. The restaurant is closing, but we're all here. So, yeah,
yep.
It's herding cats. But I think just if we can touch on, I mean, like, we're not going to keep you guys here for 3 hours. You know, just to touch on hiring, training, and just ongoing. So whether you're...
Well, both of us, you and I have unique perspectives on it because of, you know, the agency side with what I've grown, and then you have been, you know, on your own, and also in the in-house side of it and working with agencies. And yep. So I think we have really good perspective, but yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, we'll just talk about hiring and whether you're looking to hire an intern or a full-time or a consultant or a contractor, or if you're building an agency team and you're looking for a project manager or an account rep or, you know, an SEO or a PPC or a social media, you know, what I think a lot of this stuff we'll probably talk about, some of it's very specific, can be morphed into whatever your person is, whatever their job is, whether it's PPC, SEO, developer even. I think a lot of this stuff can be interchanged for whatever their role is. And I think a lot of, and you can probably talk to this first thing, we'll start with hiring. Just, do you guys hire for skill, background, or fit?
So this is a fun one because we learned our lesson, okay?
Well, that's good. How long did it take?
Sadly, it took longer than it should have, but you know, it took a few bad hires to figure this out, maybe a year and a half or so. But what, you know, so when we were first growing, I mean, it's one thing, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about it, like someone listening and like, you know, we have almost 40 employees and this and that, but you don't realize like the difference between just having a few people, even jumping to 20, and then even the jump from 30 to 40, like it is an interesting situation and spot to be in. But I think one of the biggest things that we learned was, you know, back in the day, we would always just hire solely on skill set. Were they qualified? Do they know exactly how to do the job? We didn't really care about anything else. Like, were they a good SEO? Were they the best SEO that we could get for the spot? Were they the best paid person? Were they the best outreach person? Were they the best whatever? And we quickly learned that it's more important, at least, again, this is just with where we're at, okay? It's more important for us to focus on someone or to hire and find someone that fits in with our culture And we realized that skills and stuff like that and the training, and they could be taught. They, you know, they can learn and they could be educated to grow into those roles of being a good SEO or being a good, not saying that we're hiring people that have absolutely no knowledge or skill, but if you give me one person that, you know, by all intents and purposes, let's say person A, he's like the best SEO on the planet, but he has zero ability to work with anybody and he doesn't fit in good with our culture. And you have one person that's an okay SEO, but they mesh really good, or they mesh really good with our culture and our team. We're going to hire that person all day long, the one that fits with the team better. And it took us a little while to learn this because we hired some doozies back in the day, man. And I can't get too specific because, you know, I don't want anyone coming after us for that. But no, no. Anyway, yeah. So we just we started focusing on someone that would fit in with the culture that we could train versus someone that had all the skills. I don't know if that answers the question or not, but.
No, I think, and I once had to hire my replacement, and by the time they got to me, they'd already met and been vetted by a bunch of other people. My goal, as I saw it, was to make sure that they could step in and deal with my boss, with the CTO, with the CFO, with like all these different moving pieces. Like, did I think that they would be able to navigate that political landfield, right. landmine, you know, field, whatever.
Minefield.
Of craziness. Yes, thank you. Of craziness. And would they be able to take on all of the stuff that was going to be dropped in their lap?
Right.
And would they fit in with the team that I'd worked with for a while? Like, by the time they got to me, I could critique their SEO skills and stuff, but they'd already kind of passed all of the other ones, and I could give some other feedback of this is where they're really going to be strong, or this is where they're going to be weak, or you might need someone to help them, or they're not going to be able to do this, which I did, but or they'll be able to do this that I couldn't do. Maybe, like, I'm a horrible writer. Maybe they're a really good writer, but they're not as data focused. Just, you know, that's my feedback. And I would just kind of fit on fit. And it was interesting to see, you know, how people fit or didn't.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
And I think the one, as far as hiring, whatever that position is, I did this a couple years ago at, like, I think it was SES or Clixi. I was doing a similar kind of topic talk. And I asked a bunch of people, if you're hiring an SEO or PPC person, what's the one question you always ask? And I got it in different variations, but everyone asked to walk someone through a scenario of, you know, this is what's wrong with this website. You know, walk me through, not just, don't open your tool set and show me which tools you use. I don't care. Walk me through your thinking process of what you do and how you approach it. And that was interesting because if you're talking about someone's skills or whether they're new or old, even if they don't know which tools you use internally or which ones, you know, all of the ones that are available, right. If they can just walk through how they would approach it, I think that can help people, and especially you as a hiring manager, understand, do they really think through stuff or do they just go and look up stuff online?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Like, you know, oh, I go to this report and I pull this thing out of AdWords and then I, you know, I throw it in Excel and I start digging around and, you know, if it's an SEO person, it's like, oh, well, I first crawl the site, I get access to this data. I really like to have this data because of this. And then I start to dig into this and I start to ask questions about this and that. That'll tell you that if you give them something, if they don't know, they'll either figure it out or one way or the other, or, you know, they already know how to do it probably. But I always thought that was a great kind of question.
No, that is. And I think it kind of fits into, you can ask those kind of questions, but then you can also ask the kind of questions that would help you understand, you know, do they fit in with the team or the culture that you're building at your company as well? Because I'm all for having as qualified and as skilled of a person as possible. And so I don't want people to get me wrong with what we do, but we need to have people that mesh, you know, and you know, you had mentioned good luck trying to find an SEO in Chicagoland. Well, you know, it's very difficult finding
anyone.
in Utah, it's like the little, you know, they're trying to brand it Silicon Slopes, you know, after Silicon Valley, but just there's so many tech places and startups and whatnot over there, and it is really difficult, you know, especially for finding a good paid person, like a good PPC dude. It is so tough to find certain people with certain skill sets, and so a lot of times, you know, you're competing against, you know, four or five other companies that are offering them really amazing incentives and whatnot to come over. And so, you know, it's a little bit different of a landscape, and it's super competitive where we're at. And you know, we do rely on LinkedIn a lot, and LinkedIn has helped us find some good quality candidates, believe it or not. Also, we found that BYU and Utah State, there's a lot of places over there have really good internship programs, and a lot of those people come to us, and those interns, you know, if you take really good care of them and you get them to be a part of your fit and your culture, you know, when it comes time for, hey, I'm graduating, or, you know, you give them a job, you know, you give them an offer, and if they're already fitting in, they already feel like they're a part of your family, then it makes it easier for you to win them versus them going somewhere else. You just have to, you know, fit right with what, you know, you're offering on them. And so I would highly recommend anyone, you know, taking advantage of internships. There's paid internships as well, but a lot of times you could get some really good work, really good workers and really good people for cheaper, and then turn them into loyal employees later on that you can take care of better later.
Which is a great lead into point number two for training, because if they're already a fit and they already have started to, you know, understand your systems, your processes, your flow, your culture, training has already been somewhat done.
Yeah, exactly.
When I first started Northside Metrics, I actually took on, I don't know if it was an intern, but it was a senior junior person, really good go-getter, really good guy. I underestimated the amount of training I was going to have to do with him. Because, like, I would explain something, and in my head, I was thorough about it. And then based on the questions he would ask me back, I was like, clearly I was not thorough enough. And I went for someone really that was trying to learn and very eager. And I'm sure he spent a lot of extra time trying to learn stuff. So I kept trying to figure out a way to work. But as I got into it, I was like, I'm the only person doing everything. And for me, the amount of training that was going to be required was just too much for me.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was my hard lesson. I was like, this isn't going to work. Like, it's not fair to him, because I just couldn't give. I had to find work that I could give to him that would be require low amount of training and slowly work into it. And I just didn't have enough stuff constantly to give him that would fit, so he could slowly work into more advanced stuff. And just that, you know, for me, just the small little firm that I am and the small amount of work that I take on, I couldn't give enough to him.
It is quite a bit of difference from, I see what you're saying with us. I mean, it's quite a bit different when you have more people and more opportunity, and you give your certain teams, whether it be your outreach, link building team, PR team, SEO team, PPC team, whatever, you give them training opportunities. So besides, like, you know, with Avalanche, besides regular company meetings and management meetings and things like that, we also give our teams the ability to do training and stuff like that. And so when someone new comes on, they're going to be learning full time from all the group of the people that they're with. Plus they have dedicated time for training and stuff like that as well. And that's a lot different than when you're the one running the show, getting the business, getting the leads, closing the sales, things like that. And so it's good that you touched on that.
Well, and if, you know, you're a small business owner, or even when I was in-house as the SEO manager, and we would bring in either new SEO people, new developers that were, you know, fresh out of college or only had a year or two experience, I have to train them on SEO, I have to train them on our systems. One place I was the developer, and we brought in someone so that the graphic designer didn't have to code and that I didn't have to code because both of us were spending part of our time coding.
Yeah, and you weren't doing your job.
Yeah, so the goal was we bring in this FTE, they are a full-time coder, and then the designer only has to do front-end style sheet stuff, maybe, and I only have to do more advanced coding, or just go in and double check things, or you know, help him when he's overworked and we got deadlines. But there was still training there. Of course, that guy is now an SEO somewhere else. He went from developer to SEO, and he actually took over where I left one place. So good for him.
Yeah, good, good.
But there was a lot of training over the years. And if you're an in-house person and you own a company, you know, or you're the VP, you're marketing, and you have a small team, anytime you bring on someone, there's going to be that training. So always think about that when you're running it. But there are a lot of things now, like just between conferences, there's conferences all over, small and large, but then there's so many like little certifications. Google offers a bunch. And then there's just different classes. Like I took a class at MIT for data science stuff year and a half ago.
That's okay.
Where I was getting to play with Python and Tableau, and well, I didn't play with Tableau. I played with that before. And BI, but there's all sorts of classes. And once I took SQL, PL SQL classes while I was at a company, they paid for it.
So pay attention to stuff like that for training. And you know what, like with us, we've had our employees even, we tell them pay attention to stuff like that. And if there's something that you think conference or education or certifications or anything like that, like you just mentioned, bring it up to us, let us know, because that's only going to benefit us and our clients. And so a lot of times we've sent them to trainings or, you know, one day conferences or, you know, given them paid for whatever it is for them to get certifications and things like that. And so, you know, if you're running an agency, give them the opportunity. Tell them, hey, look and find stuff. If there's something that you feel like it would make, you know, help you benefit you and help you do your job better, bring it to me. Like we can have a budget for that. And then that's what we do.
Yeah, and I took, and they actually paid us years ago now, but I took a, at the local community college, I took PL SQL 101 because we were doing Oracle and stored procs and stuff a lot with all of our data. We had all of our data was in huge Oracle databases, and we had to write these crazy PL SQL stuff to get the data out. And it was SQL, but it was a lot more than that. So I went and learned it so that when I was working on projects, I would, one, have a better understanding of how my code was interacting with that PL SQL stuff and how that PL SQL was interacting with the database, because I could look at the database and stuff, but then there was that missing part in between. So it helped me do my job. It also helped me then be, I wouldn't say a backup, but someone that could start writing something and then give it to one of the actual people that did it, and they'd be like, yeah, good effort, Dave, and then fix it. But they would understand what I was trying to do, and it would save them some time. So that was a bonus for you know, their team as well, is that I could come in and say, here's the spec, here's what I've already done, because I've learned how to do it and I'm trying to learn. And they'd sit down and explain what they were doing, and then I would keep getting better. And it really wasn't costing the company anything. It was actually saving, because my salary was a lot less than that Oracle third-party developer.
Yeah. Awesome. Well,
wait, the third one was just, what was the third point? Oh, yeah. Ongoing in the team and just bringing it all together and kind of running, I guess running the team. So we've hired, we've now trained. What would be your top tip or two for just kind of ongoing and running a team, whether it's an agency or in-house?
So what I found, you know, and again, this goes to keeping people happy and keeping on board, because we all know, like, the life expectancy of someone in tech at a certain company is not that long. I mean, yeah, exactly. It's pretty amazing when someone lasts 2 years and, you know, they're a veteran at three and they're like, oh my gosh, like, why are you still here at 6 years? Or not that we don't want you, but like, what are we doing right? And anyway, you know how it is. And so, I think the most important thing that we've tried to figure out is what is it going to take to keep these people happy. But also, you know, like our continuing to evaluate, do we have the right person in the right spot? You know, we recently made some internal changes on some different teams that we have. And, you know, it was for retain, you know, for, you know, client retainer reasons and for just culture reasons and things like that. And so I think as long as you're paying attention to that kind of stuff, you are making sure that you're not just going to let the teams get stale, not pay attention to it, not helping them do any kind of team building things, you know, give them budget for making people happy, give them opportunity, help them do everything you can to, you know, to help them succeed would be my biggest tips. Just being a part of it, being in on there. And, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Just make sure that you're doing everything that you can to help them succeed and keep them long-term is what I would say.
I think the, being straight up with what the goals are for the team and the company, I think always helps, especially if it's on the marketing side. So you're not, you know, halfway through the year.
Sorry to interrupt, but you bring up a really good point of something that has been awesome that we've recently done. You know, you said goals, and we set these basically quarterly revenue goals that, you know, if they're hit, everybody knows, people get bonuses, things like that. But what's been awesome is we've been getting the whole teams, everybody involved, and like someone will send out an email, hey, we're at this with revenue. Does anybody have anything? Does anybody have this? You know, and you know, we're 600 shy of hitting our quarter two goal or whatever. Does anybody have something? And someone will come in, and it gets people excited. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we do a lot of stuff like that as well.
It really is, yeah. If you keep moving that goalpost, it's really hard for anyone to hit it. They might get lucky sometimes. But yeah, setting goals and letting everyone know what their goals are is something that I've found very helpful, especially if you're ever going through a transition where you've sold the company, make sure everyone knows as much as possible what you legally can tell them. Otherwise, people will get skittish and run away really quickly, or they'll just stop working. And the other thing would be just the ongoing training and events, anything you can do, but also hold people accountable. And I've talked about it before. Yeah. One of the best things I ever started doing when I was in-house as an SEO was tracking my own time. If you're an in-house company group, run it like an agency. If you have to deal with more than one or two groups, or one or two people asking for projects or deliverables or landing pages or whatever, it will save all of your people from being burned or burned out if you can track time to those projects. So that when someone asks for a simple request, you can show that their last three simple requests actually took 3 weeks of your team's total time. This simple change request you want is actually a huge thing, because it impacts the database of this CMS that is managed by a third party who we then have to work with and schedule. And then we have to do QA, and we have to, like, they don't care. They just want it done. But if you can internally show that this small change actually costs your team 50 hours, 20 hours, 100 hours, and it cost part of your budget of 10 grand to work with this other agency that you work with, you know, your dev agency, it will scare people. And then when budget comes up, you can say, yeah, to do that simple change, we now require some of your budget. So, but if you're not tracking that stuff internally, you know, if your boss is asking you what you're doing, you can show them. And, you know, when your boss needs more headcount and they go to the table at the C-suite and say, hey, I know this group needs headcount, and I know this group needs headcount, my group needs headcount, and here's why. And they'll have data to back it up.
And it's hard to argue with data.
You can, but yeah, you usually will look like a fool. Or at least you should if it's good data. So all right. That's my big thing about just run it like an agency. Okay. Run it like a good agency. Let me say that. Make people accountable, but also be accountable as the owner manager, and, you know, keep everyone involved. I think that's the best thing for ongoing team.
Very good. So hopefully people got some good ideas for, you know, with in-house agency, running it and all that with your digital teams. And so we do appreciate everybody, you know, listening. And so if there's any questions or anything that we talked about today that sparked an interest, or if you want us to dive deeper into one specific thing like training or, you know, retention, whatever it might be, you know, drop us a comment and let us know. And as always, you know, we're, you know, Dave and I are very easily accessible online. Find us, you know, anything that we referenced, as always, will be on the, you know, the blog post for this episode. We do appreciate you taking your time and listening to us. For Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Soltola with Avalanche Media, and we will see you on the next episode. Thanks, guys.
Have a good one, all.